Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Marit Larwood here, who's about to talk to you right now.
Hello, listeners. I hope you're all feeling well, wherever you are, and confident about the future. Even though the world seems like a much darker place these days, it's difficult to get a job. It's hard to make friends in real life. We're all getting older.
Is this list go on for much longer?
That's the
end of the list. Okay. We are here to talk about films, escapism traditionally, from the horrors of day-to-day life.
Yes, please.
I mean, I mentioned last week, I think films at the cinema are getting a bit better. I think we're going into a good patch. And one of those films, I think, is the one I went to see this week.
You lucky bugger!
I know. I went to see Hunt for the Wilder People. Now, this would have normally completely passed me by because of the poster image is Sam Neill with a beard and a little fat kid. And you just go, well, I don't know what this is.
And a hippo.
And there's not a hippo.
I'm looking at the picture now. Oh, a boar.
It's a boar, yeah.
I am very on, in the small thing, it could be a hippo.
But yeah, it, an easy mistake to make. But this film, to tell you a bit about it, is the follow-up to What We Do in the Shadows, which was a vampire comedy that was very good, had Jermaine Clement and Rhys Darby and people in. And it's was directed by Taika Waititi, who is from New Zealand, and he wrote and directed What We Do in the Shadows, and he wrote and directed this as well. And it's based upon a very popular book in New Zealand. It's sort of a childhood favourite, I think.
What's the basic premise?
The basic story is about this kid who is
fat.
He's fat. But no, I mean, that's not the premise. He is in foster care, and he's one of these kids who's a bit problematic, and he's sent from home to home to home
because he's fat.
No, because he's you know, unruly. But the kid's name's Ricky, and he is sent to live with this slightly odd couple in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the bush, and is introduced to a very different life. And the aunt is they ask him to call them aunt and uncle, and the aunt is really kind but a bit mad, and the uncle is a really grumpy old sort of wild man who used to be a bum, and he's played by Sam Neill. Anyway, I will not give the game away, but something happens and they end up running away into the bush whilst there's crossed wires and there is a nationwide manhunt for them, and they don't want to go back to civilization.
It's a comedy, right?
It's a comedy, but unlike What We Do in the Shadows or Flight of the Conchords, which Taika Waititi was also involved in, this one has more heart to it. Like, I asked her permission to tell you, I went to see this with Danielle Ward, and she wept like she was seeing Bad Santa again. Like
Danielle Ward crying?
Yeah, yeah, at this film, because it is moving, you know, it's very moving. But
did you cry?
Very funny. I didn't. I didn't.
Do you cry at films?
Not often. I do, but not as often as some other people do.
I do.
I know you do, yeah. The dialogue is so good. It's so funny. It's so funny, this film. The little kid, Ricky, is absolutely fantastic.
He's not annoying or...
No, not in the slightest. He's fantastic in this. And Sam Neill isn't playing a comedy character. He doesn't have a joke line in it. He is playing who his character is. He's a man who doesn't have a sense of humour. But it's one of those films where you go, God, I'd love to work with this person. Because every single character is a gift. There's no boring character in it where you just go, oh, that was a bit functional, or they didn't really have anything. Everyone in it's great, and you want to see more of them. This is a real hidden gem of a film, because it's still in cinemas now, but it's going to come and go without many people seeing it.
I saw a trailer, and it's quite big. Is it quite a big comedy?
Bits of it are, and then bits of it aren't, you know. I mean, the kid is sort of a bit larger than life and everything, but it works. As a piece, it works. And the director has such an eye for both the verbal and the visual comedy, sort of sparring and playing off each other, and then one feeding to the other, and it's great. And you don't want the conversation to go down this route, but Taika Waititi, the writer-director of this, has been given helming duties on the next Thor Marvel film.
And, I'll be ruined.
But it's a road movie, a buddy movie, between Thor and the Hulk in space. And however much Marvel manages to homogenise it and make it not quite work, I promise you it probably will be the funniest they've done so far, because I want to see more this director does. He also did a film called Boy that I've not seen, but I was talking to the comedian Nish Kumar last night, and he was saying it's brilliant, you should watch that.
He's a comedian.
A chameleon, yeah, that's right.
Comedian.
A comedian, okay. With a D in it. He's got a D in it, and apparently that is about Taika Waititi's upbringing, and is not a comedy, but it's still, you know, a good film. It's just one of those where you go, yeah, this. I want to be seeing more things like this.
Is this one of the best films you've seen in the year, then?
I think it probably is. I don't know. I can't recall what films were this year and what were last year. I'm not very good at that.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Your life just starts to turn to a blur.
Oh no, I've never been good at that. I was like this when I was, you know, 11 years old. I didn't.
Your life had turned to a blur.
It's always been a blur, yeah. I don't, my brain doesn't really put things in order as I remember them. It just puts them all in a pile, going, it's all there if you need it.
You're some sort of time traveller.
I don't think so.
How many Debbies did you give it?
9.
Wow.
There were moments when I was slightly brought out of the reality just by those thoughts of, oh, I see where this is going. But then they surprised me again. But there's just slight... It's not quite a perfect film, but it's a really good film.
Do you want to cry now?
No. No.
I want you to.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
No, but Hunt for the Wilder People is what it's called. And it's got... And, you know, it's got that great... New Zealand sense of humour, but very different way of doing things to the normal American or British stuff we've seen, that, you know, we got glimpses of in Crocodile Dundee or whatever, and this, you just get so much more of it, just like, this is their film. Like, when I saw it at the Picture House Central, there were laughs when just newsreaders appeared from people in the room, and I was like, that's clearly a real newsreader.
Oh, so a lot of New Zealanders
and
were there.
There was New Zealanders watching it. And you go, there's stuff I clearly am missing, but I'm still loving it.
How did you find out about it then?
I went entirely on a whim. Actually, I wanted to go and see Don't Breathe, which is a horror film that a friend of mine was a producer on, and has been getting very good reviews. But it wasn't actually showing. And so I went, well, what else is reviewed? Well, I want to go to the cinema tonight. And purely by chance, I just went, oh, that's got good reviews. I know nothing about it. I'll go see that.
Oh, I love it when that happens.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's the best.
8.3 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's a really good film. And it's funny and a weepy. It's both those things.
Oh,
very
it
heartwarming.
Like something that, you know, I want to go and see.
Yeah. Yeah. But I encourage you to track it down. It's really, really good. Hunt for the Wilder People.
Well, I will.
Good.
What shall we do now with our lives?
Oh, God, that's a question. We could do this.
Some people are writing letters that we like reading them out.
Here's a message.
Yes.
It's from Ed Hawkins. He's written two messages, so I might read them both together.
Okay.
He's written one on the 9th of September, then he's obviously had another thought later on and written it one later.
Okay. What does he want?
Ed Hawkins, IMDb score 21, quite poor. Film Fandango is my new favourite podcast. Well done, Mr. Hawkins.
Thanks, Ed.
I've been listening through your back catalogue in no particular order, so I'm quite confused. I thought I'd give you a couple of recommendations from my film past. Leningrad Cowboys Go America. Not seen that.
No.
Documentary Hair with Chris Rock, which is very good. Last of all, confession. I'm one of the those CGI artists forced to ruin many of our youth. Worst Bill Murray movie, Space Jam. He worked on that one.
Oh, no.
And he's also, in the next one, he's written, entitled Beastmaster Talk. You cannot talk about Beastmaster without mentioning the heroes of the movie, Podo and Kodo.
Correct.
Also, you missed out The Sword and the Sorcerer, and the pinnacle of the genre, Hawk the Slayer, with his brilliant use of ping pong balls and silly string in an effect-laden spellcasting scene. I did mention Hawk.
You did mention Hawk the Slayer, and I mentioned Kodo and Podo as well.
A career-defining performance of Bernard Breslau as Gort the Giant. I love Bernard Breslau.
Bernard Breslau is in Krull, though.
Is it Krull? I think it's Hawk the Slayer.
Bernard Breslau is a Cyclops in Krull.
He's also
in... Is he in Hawk the Slayer as
well?
Yeah,
he's in Hawk the Slayer as himself, yeah.
As himself?
Well, no, as Gort the... Just without a Cyclops thing.
Okay.
Here we go. Do you want to read this one?
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, Ed. I'm glad you're enjoying the back catalogue. This one comes from Ian Knight with a K. That's a good name, isn't it? Ian Knight.
Yeah.
He says, please read in an articulate Mancunian accent. It's basically mine. Dear David Marek and Buddy, I'm writing to you to see if any of you have seen the Belgian animation A Town Called Panic. The French title is Panique au Village. Possibly the best ever film about toys going on an adventure. Not bad going, given the competition. I'd love to hear what you chaps think. Love, Ian. He forgot the I in his own name, so it just says Love, Anne. And I was confused. P.S. At the start of each show, I have a mental image of Danielle on bass, David on drums, and Marek on cowbell / vibes, jamming the theme tune. Please tell me this is true. I'm afraid Marek does not play the theme tune, but Ian, you're entirely right. I am playing the drums, and Danielle Ward is playing the bass. And it's actually... a tiny little piano that I am playing as well at the same time, I think. So that is what you can manage. But if you imagine, rather, but if you'd like to imagine Marek playing a tiny piano, as we all would like to.
In the background, eating some baked beans on toast.
Yeah, you could be bezzing, you know, just throwing some shapes.
No, not that.
No?
When I was looking at reviews for Flight of Dragons, my favourite kids' film ever,
yes.
I saw someone, one of the reviews, also reviewing this film.
A Town Called Panic.
And it's supposed to be completely mental, just a really out there kids' animation. So I definitely will look it up, because I think it does look like a fascinating film that doesn't follow any of the normal film rules.
Oh, wow, yeah. There's just a cowboy and an Indian balancing on the bum of a horse on the poster. That looks good.
In the review this bloke did, it sounded more mental than that. I've got... it's odd. This is another... A few weeks ago, we had loads of Ferris Bueller emails.
Yes.
We've got another one. I don't know why... and this was done before that we did the last podcast. It's a lot of Ferris... Why is everyone talking about Ferris Bueller? Anyway... and having a problem with Ferris Bueller. Seems to be a reoccurring thing. Here's from Steve Higgins. Steve Higgins. I'll say that one more time. Steve Higgins. Hello again. David did a pretty decent Maltese accent last time I wrote in, but I'm okay if you want to give it a miss. Have you ever watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off with a thought in your head that Ferris only exists in Cameron's head, and much of the movie is Cameron's fantasy in order to bring himself to the point of standing up to his father? That sounds like a film studies essay.
It does. I love these conspiracy theories. It's usually that somebody's dead, isn't it? It's usually that everyone's dead.
I think this is a really good good.
I read another one, but carry on.
It's a theory knocking around. You can look it up if you like. I like it. It explains many of the implausible scenes in the film. Are there any films you can think of that you've heard a theory about years later that has actually made you think again? Rather than say, that's total bobbins. KWTF. What's K, the K for?
Keep.
Keep watching the film. I thought it was what WTF as in what the fuck.
What the fuck? Keep what the fucking.
Sorry.
Keep wanting the fuck. Written,
Now I've typed that, I realise it takes longer to say than keep watching the film.
Yes, I read exactly one of these that I was like, I quite like that, which was about Greece. That the reason, because the oddest bit of Greece, the musical starring Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, is when at the end in Grease Lightning, they fly into the sky rather than off into the sunset. They literally fly into the sky. And there was a theory doing the rounds a couple of weeks ago, which was that, you know, in the song Summer Lovin', where they say, she nearly drowned. Well, she did drown, and the entire film is her dying moments of her fantasy of having a relationship with the boy she's only just met, and at the end she dies, which is why she goes off into the clouds. So actually, Sandy is dying for the entire film.
That would make it a better film.
There's also a bit with...
It's a good film already.
There's also a bit with an angel in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. Also, people don't really sing in real life, do they? So that makes sense as well. Yeah.
And Back to the Future,
yes,
could be Marty McFly's first ever wet dream.
The whole I mean, it's a very well structured wet dream, isn't it? About having to sleep with his mother.
Yes.
Wow, I mean, that is a hell of a first wet dream. It would put you off wet dreams.
Well, that's the thing. He does that, and then the guilt leaves an anxiety is all the rest of it. It's like a manifest. It's like, you know, when you get chased when you're constantly trying to climb something, or you're doing a driving test or your French exam again. It's that his guilt about having a wet dream about his mother manifests itself as having to get back to the 1980s.
I think it could more likely be Biff's wet dream about, because he's a bit more screwed up, so he might imagine Marty having to sleep with his mum. It's Biff's wet dream about being covered in manure.
It's always got to be this side character, isn't it? So if it's a second sort of character.
Maybe it's the car's wet dream about having men inside him.
If you think Back to the Future was a wet dream,
yeah,
or you have any other theories, how can these people tell us what they are?
They can simply go to filmfandango.com and fill in the contact form, and you will have your letter, hopefully, we sometimes fuck up, but usually, read out on the programme.
That is a wet dream in itself.
That is a wet dream. Are you wet right now?
Oh, don't know how I feel about that question.
Moving on. Have you seen a film this week?
Well, we, for long-term listeners... I don't know how many there are of those. We play a game, occasionally we refer to, called the IMDb score game.
IMDb top 250, we usually call it, I think.
So you go to the IMDb website, and you go down the bottom.
They've got their highest rated 250 films, and you simply count down until you reach one you have not seen, and its rank is your score. So I think we're in the sort of 40s or 60s at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm quite strong all the way. I mean, mine's the I fall down a Chaplin one.
You fall down the Chaplin hole.
The Great Dictator at 54 I have to watch.
Good film.
And then I am not, what I'm doing is I'm watching some later ones so I can really get, well, I think I've almost seen everything apart from those.
Okay.
And maybe this has dropped out of the top 100, but it was in there. It's a top 250 anyway. I thought I'd go and see one of the best films I hadn't seen because I wanted a treat. I bought off Google Play, which is quite annoying, so you have to buy the whole film.
You can't just rent it.
Renting it, yeah.
Oh, that's an...
I watched... It's number 86 at the moment in the top 100 films of all time.
Right.
Amadeus.
Great film. I used to have this on VHS. Very weird cover, actually, for it, isn't it?
It's a fantastic cover, yeah. It doesn't really suit the film. It's sort of an animated sort of picture cover.
Yeah, yeah.
It came out in 1984. Written by... It was based on a play written by Peter Schaefer. So, it is a story of Amadeus, but told through one of his rival composer at the time called Antonio Salieri, who was in the sort of Austrian,
isn't it? Well, it depends where he is at the time. He moved around a lot. He went to Vienna. He
was the composer, the court composer for this Austrian emperor.
Right.
And he'd sort of stumbled across Mozart as this childhood prodigy and not seen him since. And he realised, and this Salieri doesn't really have any talent. He's a quite mechanical, old-fashioned composer.
Played by F. Murray Abraham, and he's fantastic.
Yes, and he's jealous of the genius of Mozart, who's composing his music, and he sort of sabotages that.
He's the lead character, isn't he? Many people forget that. It's about Salieri.
They both got F. Murray Abraham, who plays Salieri, and Tom Hulce, who plays Mozart, both got nominated for Best Actor in the 1984 Oscars. He won 8 Oscars. Thoroughly deserves them.
Yeah.
It is a masterpiece, this. It's such it's a great take on the story, to have a narrator who's quite a traditional take, but a sort of jealous narrator. Yeah. So you've got almost 2A plots, really, of their lives combining, and how Mozart was, you know, a genius who struggled financially, and Salieri didn't back him, yet was possibly his greatest fan.
Mm.
It's sumptuous. The costumes are amazing. Of course, the music's brilliant. You know,
who doesn't? Is it Queen?
It's Queen. Yeah, yeah. It's Queen, and I think there is a bit from 80s pop group, 90s pop group A1.
Oh, fantastic!
Well. It's just Milos Forman, probably not directed it.
Yeah.
I watched the director's cut, which is about 3 hours long or something, but it doesn't really feel like that. It's beautiful. The performances. I mean, Tom Hulce manages to play really sort of quite annoying.
Yes, I mean, he's...
Perfectly. They're both put in performances of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And they both deserve best. F. Murray Abraham won the best Oscar. He won best picture, best actor in leading role, best director, best writing, best art direction, best costume design, best sound, best makeup.
And I didn't know this, because I thought, well, Tom Hulce has sort of disappeared after this, because so good.
He went into directing, I think.
I'm just looking him up now, he played the voice of Quasimodo in Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So he didn't disappear from our hearts entirely, Marek.
Even F. Murray Abraham's appeared in stuff. This was been sort of minor character. Tom Hulce, it's one of those things you see and you think, well, why? I remember him in Parenthood. He sort of plays a minor role in that.
Yeah.
It's just odd that he didn't become this superstar, probably because he hasn't got the looks of a leading man. He's quite, you know, he's just not traditionally handsome. He's just quite interesting looking. And so is F. Murray Abraham. But
F. Murray Abraham's worked consistently, you know, throughout his career, hasn't he?
Tom Hulce, I read that he gave up to become more of to do theatre direction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, F. Murray Abraham plays Noah at the beginning of Muppets from Space, which is probably his greatest role, but Amadeus is playing Salieri as close second, I think.
It's great when you're learning almost a semi-historically accurate, totally, but it's just that classical music is somehow sort of painted in sort of quite in my head. Maybe it's only my head. I love classical music. I listen to lots of film soundtracks.
Yeah,
I put Radio 3 or Classic FM on the whole time. But yes. I don't really. I've never really been educated in it. I know, you know, I don't really. I feel it's quite elitist. I think it's quite. And it's fascinating to see it as the sort of almost the music, the trendy music of the time, you know. And seeing all that it wasn't all the
it wasn't so you know everyone wasn't sort of so buttoned up like Salieri.
Yes,
that's
exactly
the thing. They were expressive, passionate human beings who, you know, this was how they, you know, who loved listening to this stuff. And that's what Salieri can't stand, isn't it? The fact that he's not good enough, ultimately.
Yeah. Which is a brilliant story as well.
Fantastic, yeah. Yeah, it has parallels with the film Frank, actually, which is an inferior film, but I did enjoy a lot, which I don't know if you saw.
I started watching it. I didn't like it. I didn't watch
it. No, it does have parallels with that.
Just the genius and the normal man, the sort of documenter. It's almost like the sort of Watson and Sherlock Holmes, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a fantastic film, Amadeus. If it is a blot on your IMDb 250, then I recommend you go see it. I've just looked up again. It is still The Lives of Others is still the one that's stopping me.
You haven't seen that yet?
I still haven't seen The Lives of Others.
It's on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I will watch it. I've got three in a row, which are classics I've not seen, which are 55, 56 and 57 are The Lives of Others, Cinema Paradiso and Paths of Glory. And I've not seen
Paths
that
Paths of Glory, I'm not a huge... It's good, but it's... what's his name? Paths of Glory.
It's Kubrick.
Yeah, it's not his finest, I don't think.
Right.
But
there's a lot to choose between in Kubrick's finest.
I defy you not to cry at The Lives of Others.
Okay.
Or Cinema Paradiso.
Really? Have I got a lot of weeping to do now?
I love those two films.
Okay.
I think they should both be higher than... in the rankings.
Oh, I mean, there's no justice with those rankings, really.
It's all the Lord of the Rings ones clogging up.
Paths of Glory is higher than The Shining, for instance, and I haven't seen Paths of Glory, but by reputation, that shouldn't be the case. But
The Lives of Others, you're lucky. Well, if you haven't seen any of those three, Amadeus is also brilliant. It's refreshing to watch a different film, and I just don't think... Without it being too preachy.
Right, yes.
A long film, not like Lincoln, when it's just trying to... You've got historical figures, and they're so sort of lauded and held up in this sort of false... I don't know what's the word. I'm getting old. I'm the Salieri of this podcast.
Well, they've been so mythologised that there's no humanity left to represent.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd help you. Well, that's it for this week. we will be back next week talking about more films. Two goodies this week. I like it when we find things we like.
That's been quite rare this year.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what we've done, so I'll do everything again. But if you'd like to write in, then go to filmfandango.com and click on the contact form and we'll get your letter from there. And also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, then click the donate button. And thank you for anything you can afford. Everyone who's done it already, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. And apparently, I've been listening to some other podcasts, and they all bang on about saying, if you enjoy it, you go to the iTunes thing and write something.
Write a review.
Write a lie.
A lie that says it's a 5-star podcast.
Yes.
Even if you enjoy it, but it's a solid 3, just give it 5.
I mean, don't think it's a 5-star podcast.
Well, you don't listen to it, though, do you?
I've listened to it a few times, and I thought, oh, God, did I really say that?
Yeah, no, fair enough. So if you'd like to help us out in the iTunes charts by giving us a review on iTunes, then please do spend 20 seconds of your time doing that.
And recommend it to all your friends who've got nothing better to do in their lives, if they're in prison, maybe.
Maybe in prison. Are we allowed in prison? Are we contraband?
I hope so, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.